Let's start off with the soybeans, and let me introduce the folks we have on the panel behind me. Mike Zuzulo is with us. Mike is our regular analyst on Fridays. He has heard on both the opening and the closing market reports. Mike is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana, probably as one of the analysts that people tell me is the most thoughtful on the air, thinks quite a bit about what's happening in the marketplace. And the thing I like about Mike is I can ask him just about anything, and he's already studied up on it. I don't worry too much about him when I want to talk about Greece or the global commodities. And frankly, he brings it up anyway, so it's okay. And so we're going to talk about soybeans with him, along with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Who in the audience has been to all 23 of these all-day ag outlook panels? Anybody? There's only one person then in the room that has made every one of them. Wayne Nelson is the one. Wayne, thank you so much for being here. He's with L&M Commodities and joins us on Tuesdays on the opening and closing market reports. Next to him, Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Kurt how long have you been on the air with us, do you know?
Oh, a long time.
A long time. Actually, everybody, anyway, you know, everybody's been on the air pretty much a long time with us. That's one of the things that we do. We find an analyst and we stay with that analyst, and we try to move with the analyst wherever they happen to go. Kurt Kimmel, thank you so much for the work you do on Mondays with us. And Bill Mayer is with us. Bill has been a couple, two or three places over the time. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing. You heard him on Thursday afternoons, and now, Bill, I don't talk to you during the week. I think
Wednesday
you are
morning.
On Wednesday mornings. That's right. On the pre-opening market report, you can hear him talk to Dave. So we're going to let them tell you a little bit about soybeans and their view on them to begin with. Bill, why don't you give us an overview of what you think the fundamentals of the soybean market look like at this time?
Okay. I guess here's kind of the situation that we've been through. We continue to see the South American crop decline. It's continued to decline over the last two and a half months here. We see China being pretty aggressive coming in, being more aggressive on buying beans to meet some of their meal needs. Their crush margins are good over there, and they continue to have lead the world as far as pork consumption goes, and need a lot of meal usage. And so we've kind of gotten ourselves in a situation to where we need to expand the acreage of soybeans this year. Our supplies in the United States this year seem to be adequate, but they're declining. And it looks, if you look out and project out for the 2012 ending stocks and production and supply and demand, it looks as though the supplies, ending stocks at the end of 2012-13 crop year are going to decline further, probably down into that 150 million level is what most of, I think, of the analysts are at right now. I think the USDA economic outlook was a little bit higher than that. So we've gotten in a situation where we need to expand acreage compared to last year, and that means that futures have to stay up there at levels to encourage that, and long enough and high enough to encourage some expanded acreage. Now, on the other side of the coin, the soybeans have done a lot of work since mid-December, kind of when we hit our lows there prior to Christmas. We've seen, I wrote this down last night, I think we've seen soybean prices on the November up $1.79.5 to the high yesterday. And at the same time, we've seen corn go up about 39 cents. So we've seen a lot, you know, the beans have done a lot of work. And I think personally, the guy probably needs to take advantage of that.
Okay, remember, if you've got questions, just raise your hand and ask them, because I will be glad to have you help me out throughout the day. Kurt Kimmel, we used to think beans in the teens was a long way off. It's not. How high can soybeans lead the market this year?
Well, technically here we're in a situation where we've recorded some Fibonacci retracements back to the upside that we saw here in September. These May beans at 1233 is probably rich enough for right now. We're due to pull back for a week or two in through here. But when you look at the overall technical picture, on the chart there, we recorded a head and shoulders bottom formation this last winter. That projects we probably got another 50 cents to the upside. So when you add 50 to the 1233, you're talking, you know, close to 13, you know, we're going to be talking $14 possibly beans here as we go into this winter. But overall, you know, it's fairly good. When you look at the situation we're in, we're looking at a huge South American crop. That crop sort of eroded away. All of a sudden, you got the world buyers coming to town here wanting to get some coverage on. There's even urgency here in the U.S. to get some coverage on. When you talk to the cash grain buyers, man, they're on you. They're wanting to get some grain booked in through here. They've offered sports tickets. Yeah. Unfortunately, they might have been the Illinois tickets, but... If you let the cash grain buyer know you're taking your wife out to dinner, I'm sure there's going to be a bouquet of flowers and a little bottle of Bud Light there, too. So these guys are hungry. They're aggressive. It just tells me there's strong demand underneath the marketplace in through here. If we continue to see some disruptions or news out of South America, I think this technical picture is going to be a self-fulfilling, and as we can move on up close to that 1390 area.
On the sports tickets a couple of weeks ago when Illinois played Iowa on Sunday. Just prior to that, the university sent out to all the faculty and staff members that we could buy tickets. I think they were $11 a piece. And we could have as many as we wanted, and an unlimited number. So next time that happens, David, I'll tell you on the air, and you can just call in, and we'll make sure that you get tickets. I can't imagine that might not happen again yet this season. Okay, Wayne Nelson. When you talk to producers about the coming soybean crop, the new crop, and the number of acres that they might put in the ground, do you see that being limited in this season?
Well, Todd, first off, I'd like to say good morning to everybody, and it's a real pleasure to be here. And I'd like to thank Dave and Todd and all the WILL personnel for putting this meeting together, because it's a great opportunity for all of us to get together with all of you. But most of all, I'd like to thank all of you people out there that support the station every day by listening, every day by giving us the numbers so that we can get support from the station and to go on. As Todd said, I've been here for 23 years in a row now. We started off the crowd about a third this size and thought it was a tremendous victory the first year. Now we sell out in about a week and a half. This is really a class show, and Todd and Dave deserve real accolades for that, and just want to say thank you to all of you for helping support them so they can do the job they do. Now to go back to what farmers are thinking about their acreage. Indiana is a very, at least in central Indiana, we're seeing a lot of people staying with basically their same rotations. We are seeing them slide a little bit farther towards corn than beans over the last 5 years, but in general in our area there's not a lot of switchover. We did see there's one new bean coming on that's going to be bought by ADM Plenish, and it's a 70-cent bonus because of the oil it makes. We are seeing some extra bean acres going to that because of the premium of that going in just in our local area because the Kleins bought our old elevator, the Lane & Myers elevator at Newmarket, and it's going to be right in their area to haul those too. But that's what we're looking at as far as that goes, Todd.
Mike Zuzulo, beans led, at least for a couple of weeks. Are they still the leader in this marketplace? And will they take the lead again if they're not?
They're still the leader by default, Todd, I think because the demand side for the beans is not answerable quite yet until we get to Friday's report. The supply side has been pushing the demand side into action. And what I mean by that is we've had a market that the demand side, both fund investment and export demand, had been on the sidelines until the South American weather event. And I think that's where the beans pick that sensitivity up more than the other commodity. I think it's always been that way, whether you're looking at a 2008 market, 2011 market, or this year's market. I would say in terms of thought-provoking, the way you talked in the beginning of the panel, for 2012, we're 45 cents higher in November beans right now versus last year on this day. We had quantitative easing in 2011, and we had a Chinese growth model that was still very, very strong and export-led. They just announced yesterday they're satisfied with 7.5% growth. That's the first time below 8% since 2004 that the Chinese government has said we'll take a less than 8% growth. So when I look at that, it says to me, given that bean exports year-to-date are down 23%, given the price is 45 cents higher in new crop, and given that the carryover here in the United States is just about 90 million bushels more than a year ago today, I would not look for as many demand-led rallies. I'd continue to look for weather, supply-side rallies. And if that's the case, they're going to be violent, they're going to happen quick, and they're going to be over quick. And you better have the crop insurance you need, not just for the February base price, but for the October price in case we have a sharp move up or a sharp move down come fall.
Since you mentioned crop insurance, I'll let our two crop insurance specialists talk about crop insurance very quickly, because those two people are on the panel at the moment. Bill Mayer, let's start with you and your discussion on crop insurance. And you can take up both, well, it's both to begin with, but go ahead and take that up for me.
Well, I guess I think the only thing I want to say on that, Todd, is probably that as I go out and visit with clients and other producers, there's a tendency to look at the, on the RP, the revenue product, to look at the 80% versus the 85%. That tends to be the choice that most guys are looking at. And I think that you, as you make that decision, should probably look at it from the standpoint of a put option. And really what it boils down to is that 5% breaks down to about a 60-cent change in your strike price that you're covering on the on your revenue put, basically. So I think that's, you know, look at it in those terms. It's really probably a more efficient way to cover that downside risk on the price than doing it in the marketplace itself, but there's definitely obviously some differences. It's a revenue put, not strictly a price put. So I think, you know, look at maximizing it if it fits into your budget.
Wayne, trend-adjusted yield, something everybody will want to take, right? Trend-adjusted yield?
Yeah, trend-adjusted yields is a no-brainer. It's going to raise your guarantee. It's going to make your insurance pay faster and put your guarantee for the banker up there higher. In general, it's going to give you about a 5% increase, like moving from 80 to 85 as far as your coverage level goes. So unless you've had some really bad yields, you don't have hardly any actual yields, you're going to want to take that. So I think that's a very good thing. I think along the same respect, the Midwest has been blessed this year by they are actually going down and looking at the actuarials for what Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio was doing. We were actually paying part of Nebraska, Arkansas, and that to try to keep their rates lower. So when you look at your crop insurance this year, the bill is going to be lower to start with.
So both of you are saying higher RP by 5%.
Basically, you'll have that with a trend adjustment, and then I think we want to stay probably. You want to look at your own situation. Let's look and see how many bushels or what percentage you generally pre-sell in the market that you need to possibly protect in case we do have. Let's face it, when we were coming into the Brazilian crop this year, the Argentine crop, we thought they were going to have a bumper crop of beans. The weather changed after Christmas. Things changed. If you had contracted, say, 60 to 80% of what you thought you're going to have, and all of a sudden that's all you have, the harvest price is going to help protect you when you haul those beans in. So we're thinking stay in the 80 to 85% bracket, and we are thinking you want the harvest option.
Okay, and then one other insurance question. Forgive me as I follow this up just a second. We'll get back to soybeans. GRIP, is there a reason that producers would get out of GRIP if they've been taking it, and should they? I know that Gary Schnicke suggested it might be a good possibility if you have acres that you're using in GRIP instead looking at RP.
Well, I think there's one reason to consider getting out, and that's the trend adjustment yield that helps you cover more bushels. The nice thing about GRIP is it doesn't go back 10 years. It's the county average, and you can insure at 90% of that, and it is at a higher level. So, you know, on an individual basis, I can't say you should or shouldn't take it. If it's worked well for you in the past, if you are a producer that produces above most of your county yields most of the time, you have the kind of ground that doesn't fall back hard on yields, it's a great way to insure it at a higher level.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the trend-adjusted yield is probably the reason that you might consider going back to an individual product if you've had GRIP. But GRIP does do an excellent job of doing that price protection, that downside price protection, because of the, you know, 1.5 times the increase in the guarantee.
Quite a few producers this past year in the marketing meetings in the winter have talked about not being as satisfied with enterprise units because they had hits on specific farms. And some of the meetings I sat at, it looked like you could pencil out and mathematically get to going back to optional units with the trend adjust policy change. And so that's something else to maybe look at.
Something else to look at. Schnitke told me, I think, that 65% of the acres in Illinois last year were insured under RP and enterprise units. Kurt, let's go back to the soybean market. You know, I asked you about beans in the teens, and you gave me a 50-cent mark higher, which was pretty close to where we are at the moment, right? From the technical bottom.
We met some Fibonacci retracements there, but if we could move above this week's highs, there's an additional 50 cents that may beans up to the 1380, 1390.
When you look at new crop, are you thinking that we will have a lower price by the time we get to fall under normal growing conditions and what we expect acreage to be at this point, or a higher price?
We feel we're going to be lower in this fall. We've got great confidence in the producer. We feel that the acres are going to be there. We feel there's going to be somewhat of a favorable growing season. We feel the urgency is to get coverage on now versus later. When you talk to some of the cash merchandisers, they were pretty well caught over the last summer into next fall. We feel they're getting that coverage on now versus later in here. So barring no real weather disaster, we feel that the highs are going to be in here before we go into the field. If we do have some higher strength, it's going to be later on in July on weather.
Yeah, I know. I asked him if the price was going to be lower when you were harvesting, right? So, but we just wanted to make sure. So anybody disagree with that, do you think? I mean, that would be normal. The price would be lower at this time. So, Bill, when you look again at the fundamentals across the globe, and we have two crops, one in South America, one in North America, relatively speaking. We have China now that, as Mike told us earlier, was thinking our GDP is going to be a bit lower. We don't have as much quantitative easing, or we don't have the money coming into the marketplace. Fundamentally, does the market suggest to you that there's really anything good looking at us beyond the short South American crop?
Well, I think obviously we've got to have the weather this summer to grow the crop and get it in the ground, get it grown. I think that's the real question as we move into the summer, assuming that we do get the acres here that we need. As we move into fall, we're going to be looking at the acres that we're going to be planting down in South America again. And, you know, could see an increase there if we do see prices continue to stay relatively high. So I think your question as far as going into fall, I think could be obviously we probably will be have a chance to be lower. I agree with Kurt. I think the time to protect things, there's a real need to get out here and get some protection on right now. I think we're at profitable levels, $12.50 cash soybeans for fall in a lot of central Illinois locations is a profitable level to sell soybeans. I think you come in and look at protecting some of those sales back with some bulk haul spreads or something if you get an opportunity later on.
Hey, Wayne, with crop insurance where it is, are you a seller of new crop soybeans too, or do you use that as a simple put at this point?
No, I do not use that as a simple put. We have went into the market. We have bought $13 puts. We've financed them by selling $14 calls and buying 1140 puts, or selling 1140 puts underneath, with the idea of coming back, if we get a little rally off report on Friday, to sell a $16 call also, and that will come in that we would actually do that at a plus five credit for the whole trade. That'd be either having a $13 bottom for $1.80 down, or we're looking at selling them a dollar higher at $14. With We've got big numbers coming out Friday, Todd. I mean, to see how much the USDA does cut the South American crop, what they do to our ending stocks, and what we're going to be bringing in to the year we're planning here. You know, we're hearing not a lot of switchover, but we're hearing some switchover to beans in southern Illinois, southern Indiana, definitely Arkansas, Mississippi, and Alabama, just because they didn't have real good luck with corn in some of those areas last year. And the beans up here over $13 or close to $13 are offering that. We're looking at a real difference that we can see something good because weather wasn't going to be near as important in the U.S. for our crop, bean crop or corn crop if South America hadn't lost and put us back into where supply is important. And number two, the big thing is, when are you guys going to sell? Because we haven't seen big movement getting back over $13 and back over $6.50. You know, what is the price that the farmer is waiting for?
Okay, so let's find out. First, how many, I don't know, don't care how much you have, how many of you have beans to sell? New, old crop, right? So, okay, of those, we have a $13 cash bid, yes?
Yeah.
Right? So you're not selling now. How about at $13.20? Would you sell? 13, like a 1. 40? Like an auction, isn't it? There we go. You're waiting for $13.50. Couple more. And how about $13.80? Everybody going to dump? And then everybody says, yeah, $14, right? Okay. So there's your numbers. But the question that Pete has is, once you get there, will you really sell it, or are you just going to Vegas at one of the two? So let's go back to this WASD number. That's due out at the end of the week. The World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates are due out from the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Have you gone through the numbers, and what do you think they're going to look like?
I think there's a big disagreement in the trade right now between the Brazil bean number. The Ag Attaché came out at 70. Informa came out at 68. And I think the trade's leaning towards more of the 68 number. And so the closer we get to 70 on Friday, I think the more potential you're going to see the bull spread in beans give way, and that would probably be a significant indicator that you'll see the basis start to give way in the beans as well. So I'm hinging a lot on the Brazilian bean number in particular.
So if we get, you're leaning towards
If they come out 70 with the ag attaché, I think the bull spread in the basis will weaken because the trade's more in line with the 68 million ton number.
Right, and so do you think that will be weakening with the nearbys going
leading
lower?
Yeah, right? That's why the basis in the future spreads.
Well, my question
really
was whether you thought that the nearbys would go lower or whether there would be enough impetus for the new crop to come higher.
I don't think they'd look at it that way, Todd. I think they'd say there's more supply on the market. Let's widen the basis. Let's make the spreads wider as well. The new crop would hold premium, I think, this time of the year because of the uncertainty with new crop acres. But I think the front end would do the work of telling the market we've got ample supplies.
Kurt, are you at 68 million metric tons or 70 or some other number?
69.
Dead center, baby.
43.
There you go.
Now, that's going to be the main number to watch is the South American crop. Domestic-wise, we could fiddle the supply-demand balance sheet by 5 to 10 million bushels, but that's insignificant. There's some analysts out there feels that we're going to lower world soybean ending stocks as much as 20 million metric tons. So I think that's kind of rich. Overall, we look for about a 2 to 3 million metric ton drop in it. But that's where the urgency is that South American crop. China's still a bean buyer. They've had their ups and downs in through here, but they're still projected well over 53 million metric tons to have purchased. And when you buy that volume, that quantity, you've got to continue to work and whittle away at it. So we feel the beans is going to maintain some strength in through here until we get to the end of March and see a more important report, which is the acreage report and the stocks report.
Questions out here. Anybody got one? I haven't asked you to do that yet, but if you've got questions, anybody have a question they want answered? There are 400 of you out here. Surely somebody's got a question. None. Not at this time. Think them out. We'll come back to you in just a second. Okay, so I know you told us that you were thinking some new crop sales should be good at this point. I want to go across the board and see where everybody really stands. Well, let's start with the new crop, and then we'll go backwards and do the old crop. So we're going to start back down here. New crop sales for soybeans. You're thinking how much?
Well, I think you should be in, by the time we get to that March 30th report, I think I'd like to be in that 25 to 30% range. If you want to be more aggressive than that, I think there's some strategies you can use. Wayne mentioned one with the puts. I like kind of protecting with the bull call spread, you know, being more aggressive on the sales. So that's where I'm at right now, 25 to 30%.
Kurt?
On new crop, we feel you need to be in this 30% area. We move higher here. I think you've got to be a continued scale-up seller. If you just work with the elevator, I think you need to have orders standing there. So when we do get these violent swings, you could get some cash grain off. I think the number one strategy overall is just plain stay flexible. I think this fall basis is going to be a lot narrower than what it is right now. I think if you're in a situation where you can move or can choose locations to sell, I think that there's going to be some opportunities to pick up an extra 20, 30, 40 cents by staying flexible. But I think you need to have a paper position, have some type of floor under you to protect you. Something blows up in the world, just about anything could happen. This market could fall apart in a hurry. We could see beans drop $1 to $2 just instantly here. We've been real fortunate. Investor confidence is there. We lose that investor confidence, things could turn ugly real quick. So we would have at least 50 to 75% coverage on paper. Some type of put strategy. I hate to say put or call because instantly people say, well, those don't work and so forth, or else I'm going to write this down and see if you're right and don't do anything at all. But I think you need to have some type of support underneath the market. So if the market turns violent here, you've got some downside protection.
Well, we're 25 to 40% covered depending on how you feel about things. I like Kurt's idea of the flexibility. That's why, because we are seeing great differences between processors and whatever at different times during harvest when you're hauling in. We like the idea of putting the bottom in, leaving the top open a little bit and paying probably 15 to 20 cents by the time you get done with your option that way to do it. A black swan can be out there, and it can hurt you as much as $2 in the heartbeat. There's one analyst out there that's saying there's a 90% chance that Israel will bomb or attack Iran before our election, actually, this fall. Now, I'm not taking bets on that, and I'm not saying I agree with them, but there's a very big chance. We've got this fuel situation that's really, really hurting. And what sort of policies is our government or any other government going to do? One of the biggest things they're saying now that we really change and look at, if you'd go back just 5 years and been at this meeting, I bet that the main thing we wouldn't have been talking about was energy prices, the euro dollar, and what Greece is doing. I mean, let's face it, did we, 5 years ago, did we even care what Greece was doing unless we had a vacation schedule there? You know, the players have changed. They've changed the defense we're playing against in this market, and we've got to watch a whole lot more than just supply-demand right now.
Mike, new crop pricing?
50% right now. Would like to be at 100% of insured bushels by the end of the month on Kurt's next leg up. I think we got to use the crop insurance. If we're going to pay for it, use it at these price levels. I think one other thing maybe needs to be pointed out at this time. You're at 13 roughly dollar beans here in new crop, and you've got a 275 old crop carryover here in this country. There's no shortage of beans here in this country. You've got the Chinese for the calendar year of 2011. Their bean imports, total bean imports down 4%. That's the first less number in a calendar year in over 4 years. I think it's maybe wise to think about the idea big rallies at high prices really don't come until you guys are out of the crop in the bin. I mean, that's just the nature of the market that we are in commodities, is that if we want a big, strong rally after planting, I think you've got to be sold out in the farm. And so by default, I'll take my chances on selling for profit here work on the corn after planting if I have to, and defend on paper in the beans. And I see it as needing to defend maybe twice, right before the planted acreage report, if we get a big break, and then before the August time period.
So let's see if there's a big rally in the old crop in the offing in this room. How many beans do you have left to sell? How many have more than 20%? Hold your hands up. More than 20%? Nobody. So if I go up, there aren't any more hands that go up. So if I say more than 30%, there aren't. Okay. I'm surprised. How about more than 10%? How many of you have 10% of your old crop soybeans? And we're talking old crop. Everybody understood that, right? Wow. I'm trying to get hands to come up. How many have total? Keep or hold them up. How many have more than 5% of their beans left from last year? How many of you just aren't going to tell me? How?
There are the hands.
Because I was looking out here thinking, if there's 275 left at the end of the year, there's got to be beans somewhere, but apparently not in this room. Nonetheless, you have that data and whatever else is on your sheet there, Mike, to tell me about old crop and what you will think in pricing at this point forward.
I'm out of old crop at this point. I'll buy it on paper if I need to.
All right.
We're 90 to 100% sold on old crop beans, so same difference.
You guys walked into a trap. Greg over there is writing down your name if you still have cash beans left. He's got a video camera, so you're caught.
Nice.
When we talk about selling and so forth, one thing I'm sure these guys agree too, it all depends on your individual personalized situation, because somebody's on-farm storage, off-farm storage, some's buying ground, some's renting. It's a delicate balance, and that's what we all love about working in the markets is making that balance work for you. But as far as old crop goes, I would think you'd be 100% sold out. It's good money. Cash it in. Pay your bills. We've got guys with ownership on paper. You can manage that. You can be along the board for put to cover. You can do some calls or whatever. I think if we do see the rally on higher here, it's going to be more so on paper than it is in cash. It's very simple. You just replace it, own it. When the green line goes below the red line, just get out of it.
It's really simple. That's why you need to listen to us every day. Bill?
I would have no more than 10 to 15% of the old crop left. $13 or above, I don't have any problems with that being sold out.
Okay. So we're going to finish up the bean panel at this point. We're going to let them talk about corn real quickly, simply because I want to let everybody have a chance to talk about both commodities that we really want to deal with today. Anybody got another question on beans? Okay. Let's do a... Yeah, sure.
You know, a lot of time we talk about all this stuff. And basically, sometimes people forget, if you got a good profit on paper and you got the product, whenever you do, why don't you take a little bit of that? You know, you do all this round and around when it comes right down to profit. And guys like me have been at it so long, we kind of know what's going to happen. We've been through 88 and 80s and all that stuff. So, and we still survive.
So I think what he's saying is, once you have the profit in your back pocket, why go back and do something else, right? So there are reasons not to, certainly. And there are some reasons, too.
Todd,
I was waiting for some help.
and I think that's an excellent point. But what I've seen over the years is to give people a comfort level sometimes to do that, to take that profit, coming back in and reowning it somehow allows them, that's where the real value of the call is usually, is allowing you to make the sale and feel comfortable doing it, to take that profit.
I don't think Chuck and Rennie Ehler are here this year, are they? Chuck? Rennie? Oh, they are. Are they back in the back? Oh, there they are. So Chuck and Rennie are back in the back. They're awful good friends. So Chuck tells me, actually Rennie tells me this too, from time to time, and it has to deal with your question to some extent. And Rennie tells me, Chuck raises the crop. He loves the crop. He can't stand to get rid of the crop. she sells it. And so it's kind of that point. You have to be able to get rid of it and be able to take that profit. And it's learning to do that that's really the hard thing to do. And we can't tell you how to do that on the radio. We really can't. But we can give you some good information about it. Let's go through corn real quickly with everybody. I know you weren't prepared to talk about it, but you talk about it every day. So quick side on the corn.
I think corn is still trading a discount to the beans from a standpoint of the demand side. The contacts I have in South America would suggest to me that there's more damage in corn that's long-lasting than beans, that the bean crop has indeed improved for southern Brazil at least. I think you asked me at the top of the show what the impetus or are beans going to still continue to lead. And I think yes, because the beans have one thing going for them. Remember in Seinfeld, Jerry, the main character, had the postal guy, Newman. Remember him? And he'd go, Newman, like that. Well, there's Chicago corn traders in the pits right now. And when they get bullish corn, they go, feed wheat. And I think that's where the beans have the lack of the wheat negativity. And corn is still strapped down by that. So I think that's probably something we're going to have to work through for the first several months. But I do think that the corn has a discount in it because mainly not just the demand but also the trade in Chicago is assuming a very rapid and quick planting pace. And any weather planting delays, I think, will really react quickly in the Deese corn.
Anybody who happens to be a member of the Wheat Growers Association, we apologize for that. Corn market, Wayne.
We've got a real differential between old crop and new crop. And we're looking at old crop being very, very tight, and we're looking at new crop being very, very plentiful. Of course, we are looking at, are we going to plant as much as the government has predicted? Is the weather going to be good? And will the yields be up to what they projected? If they are, that's why a lot of us are feeling just the same as the beans, that we need to have some new crop coverage, because there's every bit of a chance of dropping 50 cents to a dollar in this new crop corn if we see what we're looking at there. The old crop corn, the basis has been very tight. We've had some very good prices along the way. We're back above 650 here like that. We sort of feel it's more the time to push some of that out the door. And if you want to re-own some, say, $8 calls for any sort of weather or real tightness, that's probably the way to do it. But we are not quite as tight a holder of old crop corn as I thought I might be at this time.
Kurt Kimmel?
The bull spread classic, tight old crop, fear of a larger new crop. We'll feel the bull spread. The July D's could go out to over $1.20, $1.30. You're going to find good support in that spread back towards this 80-cent level. We feel we'll have big acres, favorable weather, get in the ground. The trade's going to read that as bearish. We look for a major low in corn by the first part of July. At that point in time, we feel that corn could possibly be a major buy at that point to see some higher prices going into this fall.
Yeah, and Bill Maron?
On the new crop corn, I'd look at three target levels, 575. We actually hit that yesterday, 595, 625. I think that's look for incremental sales as you move up those prices. I agree that good weather and good planting weather could be bearish, but, I mean, we've got 164 bushel yield and 94 million acres that we're looking at right now, and I'm not sure how it's going to get any bigger until we actually get to the point that we see we've got real open planting season here.
All right. Give these folks a nice hand. Bill Maris with Strategic Farm Marketing, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities, and Mike Zuzalo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics.